talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3. Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
These cameras, the license plate readers, I think it's out of control. And this is something that in Florida, you know, our highway patrol, we have readers for like tolling by plate and things like that. Now, I've never supported the automatic tickets being sent if you're speeding. I think a human being has to do that. And so I've never embraced that.
And, you know, that you can have a different position on a lot of these different questions, because the use of cameras for different purposes, like toll by plate, like red light running, like, you know, speed citations, which we do not have in Florida. I've lived in other places where we do have it. I have always hated those, partially because I don't like to drive slow. But anyway, also for other reasons. And then you have the flock style system where you have these license plate readers that are basically accumulating the information on every single license plate that passes by them. Now, one thing worth noting is that license plate readers are not merely on the poles that that flock puts up, but they are inside of police cars too. You know, they run plates all the time, and they have license plate readers as well. And so it's not just the flock system. There's lots of things out there capturing information from license plates. And the governor says, I think this is out of control, yesterday in a speech at FIU on other matters. But this is in the Q&A at the end, which, by the way, to his credit, a lot of times he kind of cuts off Q&A and takes two or three questions. He took many. Some of these things I wish he would have answered differently, but that's okay. You know, I always appreciate when a politician actually takes time to answer questions from the media. That's why one of the reasons I like D.C. and, you know, Grover before him and Ashton, you know, taking questions, doing press conferences. Well, sorry, D.C. and Grover, not Ashton. Ashton would always come on with me and answer my questions. In any case, D.C., the one thing, if you might criticize D.C., you cannot criticize him for not being available. He will always be available, which is, you know, to his credit. Anyway, so I appreciate when the governor takes these random questions out of the audience. And one was on the flock cameras, and he says...
But, and so this was something that was kind of out there in that vein. And then with this whole flock situation... It's now being used not for tolling by plate or things like that, but for actual criminal surveillance. And so these are done by police departments and sheriff's departments by and large. I've asked for an overview of what's going on in state agencies. There are some, but it's a lot smaller than what we have at the local level.
Yeah, they're primarily being used by local agencies, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, Pensacola Police, right? And part of the issue, by the way, I think they're going to get regulated. To cut to the end a little bit, I think that at the legislative session next year, you've already got Alabama legislators are locally filing their bills, you know, in Alabama. Or at least one guy says he's going to file a bill to restrict it. I think we're going to see some preemption by the state of Florida on this, at least some regulation, you know, some guardrails of some sort. The shape of those are going to be very interesting to talk about. This will be a big, I predict, this will be a big issue in next year's legislative session, because you have, it's not just the socialists, right? It's also libertarians and conservatives. And, you know, there's all kinds of people. This cuts across party lines. And at the same time, we all care about law enforcement. And so we hear it when our sheriffs say, no, these are really useful tools. But more on that in a second.
I'm all about having law enforcement have tools to be able to hold criminals accountable. I think that's important that we do that. And no one's been stronger on law enforcement than me. But I don't want to have this become a surveillance state. I don't want there to be a situation. And that's why we wanted an AI Bill of Rights. Remember, we were pushing for that because the flock is artificial intelligence.
Yeah, but the AI slice of this isn't really the issue. The coalition is not worked up over flock cameras because of AI. They might also care about AI and data centers and all the rest. But the coalition is built on the idea of having your movements surveilled and tracked. You know, it might not be that anybody's actually looking at, you know, where Andrew McKay drives. But the fact that they are harvesting the information so that they could look at where Andrew McKay drives, well, that's the thing that has people upset, right?
So whether it's online with digital surveillance or whether it's with cameras, at what point are we just going to be free to be not have to deal with any of that? And so I think it needs to be overhauled for sure.
And I was surprised by how stark his comments were yesterday. Very much on the side, not on the side of banning them, at least not yet, but on the side of regulating them somehow or other. And by the way, the shape of regulations could be all sorts of things. Could be a sort of a where you put them. Could be a how long you keep the information. You know, do you keep it forever? Do you keep it for 30 days like it's currently? Do you keep it for 7 days? Flock has said they're moving to that standard. Do you keep it for 5 hours? Can you query the system only for emergencies like active crimes or missing children? Can you query it for only felonies? Can you, you know, there's all kinds of things you might be able to do as far as limiting the use of these cameras. Now, on the flip side, and just, you know, to make sure we have as much of a robust conversation about this as we can, anytime it comes up, is, you know, Sheriff Simmons said it the most vividly, but our other two, you know, major law enforcement officers in this area, leaders, have basically said that this is a massively important law enforcement tool that is not currently the kind of threat that you need to be worried about, but it solves crimes better than fingerprints and DNA. That was Chip Simmons' comment. And so, are you willing to accept that missing kids don't get found? Are you willing to accept that, you know, drive-by shootings don't come to a conclusion in a prosecution because LPRs are very, 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 very useful for this? But that's the question, right? You don't have any reasonable expectation of privacy out in public, okay? But at the same time, if the state or the police, which is an agency of the state metaphorically, not the state of Florida, but the state as representative of all levels of government, if the government can track your movements because it's keeping track of them with the LPRs, do you have freedom of association? Do you have privacy of the sort that comes from keeping the government out of your life, being a private individual, not subject to ongoing surveillance because you haven't done anything to justify it? The principle of the warrant is that you have to justify a search. You have to justify a violation. You have to justify an intrusion. You don't have to justify just tailing somebody, but if you're tailing them all the time over, you kind of do. There's policies about that. And this is looking more and more like that all the time. Should you be subject to constant tracking of your car just because you're driving it around on a public roadway with permission from the state through your licensing system? And that's the question that we're talking about. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. US 98 through Gulf Breeze seeing some light traffic. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Obviously, there are times when the system gets abused.
And when I see like a police officer using this to track like an ex-girlfriend, I'm like, you know, what the hell's going on, you know, with this? So I think this has happened very quickly. I think people are right to be concerned.
Our local law enforcement agencies, I think, do it much better. They have said so, and they've talked about some of the parameters they use, and I believe in that. But that's not the same as saying that everybody does it well. It might be the case, as sometimes, that, you know, we get a rule for the whole 67 counties based on the misbehavior of a few counties, even though a couple of counties like ours are doing it really well, you know, maybe. One of the defenses of the entire system of flock cameras is, look, you could put a cop on every corner, and if that cop was fast enough with his pencil or her pencil, they could write down every license plate that goes by. Or they could just have, you know, they have LPRs in the cars already, okay? And you could buy enough of those to have police manning them. It'd be very expensive. This is a much cheaper version of that. But all this is more of something that you would already allow. And kind of, you know, my response to that is, I think citizens would not love having a cop on every corner or at every intersection writing down everybody's license plates. I don't think it's the fact that it's a machine doing it. I think it's the fact of the scale of it. And if that were something that were proposed, I think people would be bothered by that for the same exact reason that, you know, we love our cops, but we don't want them tracking everybody all the time, right? That's kind of the issue.
But the only way it could be dealt with is legislatively. This is not something that, you know, it's something that's being implemented primarily at the local level. And you're going to need the legislature to provide protections for people.
That's right, because it's legal. It is legal right now, and it has not been ruled unconstitutional. So it is, and it's not a search because it's not of your private area.
All the stuff online about how there's,
I think we covered that one already. But yeah, and so you're going to have to talk to your candidates and find out what they think and make your votes accordingly.
So what I would say is if it's something you're concerned about, then I think you should talk to the people running for office, particularly for the legislature, and see. And I know New Hampshire has done something. And so I'm in the process of reviewing that because I think that would probably be a good place to start for us here.
Yeah, and I mean, there are a lot of people kind of trying to get their arms legislatively around this in different places and studying proposals and seeing what works and talking to law enforcement and talking to people. And just, again, not to say the same thing, but I just want to make sure we're clear. If you're not willing to accept that a crime that happens to you and your family might go unsolved because of the restrictions put on these cameras, then shut up. I mean, I'm willing to accept that. I am. Just like I'm willing to accept that, you know, my kid standing up in the grocery cart at the store when they're 5 years old might mean that he falls out and gets a serious brain injury, and I promise I won't sue the store. And I'm willing to accept that, you know, some crime somewhere may not get prosecuted, even if it's against my family, precisely because, you know, we violate procedural rules or we don't read somebody their Miranda rights or we go in with a warrant that is unjustified. I mean, yes, we accept limitations on law enforcement all the time. Lots of them. Why? The basic premise of our system of government is that the government is much more dangerous than any individual. Not this government with these people operating under these rules, but theoretically and historically, governments are much more dangerous than individuals because governments are giant mobs with lots of guns and lots of power and jails and gulags and torture. And look around the world and more people have been harmed or killed by their own governments. Rights have been repressed much more by governments historically than by any amount of individuals. Individuals violating your rights is bad. Government violating your rights is massive. And so everything we do is always geared towards protecting us against those massive systemic violations. And in the process, you accept that some people will get away with crime. But you need to be an adult about that. And that's the conversation we're going to have is, you know, are you willing to accept Amber Alerts where you don't catch anybody more because you don't want this? Well, okay, maybe we say missing kids is a justifiable use of the camera system, but the camera system has to be allowed to exist to have that use. So like I said, these are going to be the conversation that we're going to have, I'm sure, in the legislative session coming up. 722 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality cars, vans, trucks, SUVs, sedans, you know, Jeeps. Minivans, they got all kinds of stuff on the lot, about 300 cars and trucks. And what they specialize in is cars that are 1, 2, maybe 3 years young, 10 to 30, 40,000 miles. Those late model cars are ones that are going to warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. And it's the idea that you'd be the second owner, maybe the third. You know, cars will come back from a lease after a year to them. They might buy it at auction or just come off the program and then they sell it to you. Like that was our car. Our car was a corporate lease down in Florida. It came back to the dealership in Orlando after a year. They put it up for sale, pre-owned certified, couldn't sell it. They had a very strict, you know, inventory turnover policy, so they put it up to auction after 90 days. Frontier went down there, bought the car, brought it back here, and we test drove it and like, well, this is great. This is exactly the car we've been looking for, and they worked with us a little bit on the price, so it became a fantastic price when we bought it. A year old with 12 or 13,000 miles on it, and we got exactly what we wanted because they had it. So great inventory, but also they treat you like you want to be treated, not like you want to never see them again. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I'm Britton with Northstone Baptist Church, and I'm thrilled to announce that our children's ministry, Awana, resumes Wednesday night, September 2nd. Awana is an internationally known ministry which focuses on teaching children how to memorize the Bible in a fun and safe environment. Children from 3 years old through the sixth grade will benefit from this large group Bible study, the small group first memory time, as well as the fun activity time. This is a terrific program for your child. Northstone Baptist Church is located on the northwest corner of Pensacola, close to the intersection of Nine Mile and Pine Forest Road. Our Awana clubs meet every Wednesday night, starting September 2nd at 6:45 p.m. Whether it's Cubbies, Sparks, or TNT, Awana has a place for your child. So register your child now at northstonebaptist.org, or to find out more information about this exciting children's ministry, visit our website. Again, that's northstonebaptist.org.
What a matchup we've got, folks. Just nonstop action. The energy is electric and the fans are all in. An intense game like this calls for a Coca-Cola. Ah, crisp and refreshing. That's a game changer. Yeah, that taste scores every time. And just like that, they're back at it. Passionate fans and an ice-cold Coca-Cola. Now that's a winning combo. No matter the team, no matter the sport, everyone knows fan work is thirsty work. Enjoy a Coca-Cola.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off, the clapper.
More than you've got, just follow the day.
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has traffic for us. PJ?
There is a brand new vehicle crash at Jamaica Street at Gulf Beach Highway. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you so much. A fairly substantial storm to our west right now. It's all over southeastern Louisiana and Mississippi. It's not really yet kind of got just the very lead edge of the light mist has gotten over to Alabama, but it's heading right at us. So this is a thunderstorm, lightning. I would expect we'd see this later on in the day. So just, you know, be aware. It's the summer in Florida. Man, it was kind of cool last night. We were, what time was it? Ooh, 2 maybe in the afternoon. We were going out, and it had gotten cool, like normal temperatures. And we walked outside. This is kind of wild. And then it was back to being, you know, normal, horrid for the rest of the day. Let's see. Steve is in for David this morning with our headline. Steve?
Well, rescuers are scrambling to find survivors after devastating flash floods in the Nepal-Tibet border area on yesterday. Officials say about 332 people have died, while around 1,000 are missing right now. President Trump's being in Houston today to campaign for Ken Paxton's U.S. Senate race. The Texas Attorney General is locked in a tight race with Democratic State Representative James Tallarico. Forecasters say a tropical wave in the Atlantic could become Tropical Storm Dolly. A name is a coincidence, by the way. The National Hurricane Center says a large tropical wave, low pressure, emerged off the coast of Africa and has a high chance of becoming the next tropical depression. The next predetermined name, of course, is Dolly. And that's, like we say, just a coincidence. And that's what's happening.
I mean, I kind of think it's a wild coincidence, though, right?
Yeah.
You know,
the timing, really.
As it's the most obvious of jokes, but, you know, a woman who took America by storm.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. 7:28 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? This is a teeny tiny little story, but it caught my attention. The NFL has dropped the Pro Bowl game entirely.
Finally,
exactly. Like the most, you know, the NFL has struggled for years to figure out what to do with its star game. And it's the Pro Bowl has been unwatchably bad for so long. And didn't they go to like flag football or something in like a skills competition? I mean, it looks like flag football the way they play. It's just terrible. So they finally dropped it entirely. Now it's just going to be a celebration weekend It's basically going to be like the one season Hall of Fame awards, which is better. The players say that they care about that more anyway, so that's fine. You know, wonderful. They're the only ones who do it after the season, right? Baseball is midseason, NBA is midseason, hockey.
Yes,
hockey
and it used to be, I think, after the Super Bowl, and then they started putting it before the Super
Bowl.
Yeah,
which is all that created all that. Now, I don't think you could have a midseason football because of the way football is taxing on your body and, you know, all of that stuff. So this is a good decision in the end. Let's see. Oh, Tim Curry passed away. You know, are you a believer in the threes thing, that there's always three celebrities at a time?
You know, I heard this yesterday, but there was actually a fourth celebrity.
Oh, who's that? Who's
Shelley Fabares from Coach. He was Coach's girlfriend, or she was Coach's girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a little obscure for me. I don't even know, but that's
okay.
That
was a big show for me.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
And that was a fourth actor. And I was
Hayden Panettiere, of course, and then Dolly Parton, and now Tim Curry, who was probably most famous for his role in Rocky Horror, both on Broadway and on the screen, and then Clue, and he was the monster in Legend, and there was another one I was just thinking about that was a... you forget that was the role for him. But, yeah, Tim Curry at 80 has been in all kinds of movies.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Closing arguments are expected to take place today in the triple murder trial of Lindsay Clancy in Massachusetts. She's a woman accused of strangling her three children to death. Fox's Molly Line reports.
The defense says Clancy should not be held criminally responsible, that she was overmedicated, suffered from postpartum psychosis, and was obeying a voice commanding her to commit the killings.
The prosecution claims Clancy acted rationally and intentionally. The death toll following catastrophic flooding at the China-Nepal border has climbed to at least 353 people killed. Fox's Katie Byrne has more.
According to the Nepal Tourism Board, 65 Americans are among more than 600 tourists that are still unaccounted for.
Over 1,000 people remain missing. Officials say several hundred bodies have been recovered. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now, 79 degrees and mostly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Duane on News Radio 92.3. In a sealed report, a Florida state grand jury found out that the DeSantis administration misappropriated $10 million in taxpayer money by diverting funds from a Medicaid settlement to the Hope Florida Foundation. That's a report from CBS in Miami. The panel finds that the money meant for Hope Florida, the charity once headed by Casey DeSantis, was steered instead to a fund to fund the fight against a marijuana legalization ballot measure. Investigators trace $4.75 million from a group called Save Our Society from Drugs straight to a PAC chaired by James Uthmeyer, who's now the state attorney general. The grand jury calls it misappropriation, but says there is not enough evidence to file criminal charges. Okaloosa County is a little cleaner, underwater tonight. Well, divers are wrapping up a mission which is pulling more than 1,000 pounds of marine debris off of 10 artificial reef sites near Destin Fort Walton Beach area. The county's natural resources team partnered with the military dive group Force Blue for that cleanup, their sixth joint mission so far.
We are, I believe, a team of five-ish divers, and so trying to tackle that on our own can be difficult, so getting help from Force Blue is wonderful. They are trained to do this type of work, and they like to lift heavy things, so why not have them help us out.
Danielle is saying the coastal coordinator for Destin Fort Walton Natural Resources talking to Channel 3. Divers hauled out tires, lead weights, and about 12 miles of tangled fishing line. Instead of a single food giveaway, organizers behind a new veteran assistance program are betting on something longer term. Starting today, 60 veteran families are going to get free weekly food deliveries for 4 months through a partnership between Feeding the Gulf Coast, Be the Miracle, and State Representative Michelle Salzman's office. Salzman told Channel 3 their repeat visits build trust and reveal what families actually need.
And if we really, really want to create a relationship with the community and really bring the community closer to the people that can help them, we should do something long term.
Organizers say the need is urgent, including one Navy veteran and her family currently living out of their SUV. Distribution is beginning tonight at 5 p.m. at Jubilee Church. Let's check that forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Heading into Saturday, 30% chance of rain, high near 89 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with PJ for traffic on the 5.
Traffic brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance, working to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Scambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash, Jamaica Street at Gulf Beach Highway. No roadblock associated with that. Highway 90 southbound is congested from the Simpson River to Scenic Highway. Use caution. I'm PJ with the traffic on the 5.
Thanks, PJ. Right now, cloudy skies, 79 degrees in Pensacola. It's 78 in Gulf Breeze and 78 also in Milton at 735. Next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Flowers, hockey sticks, and national flags are among an array of products that may rise in price after trade talks between Canada and the U.S. collapsed over this past weekend. That's according to ABC News analysts. President Trump said on Truth Social that he will double tariffs on Canada-made cars and auto parts in January to 50%. And another cereal company is jumping on the bandwagon. General Mills announced it has removed artificial colors from all its U.S. cereals, including Lucky Charms and Trix. The company said it has shifted to fruit and vegetable dyes, as well as colors derived from spices. Shares of Chinese artificial intelligence company Z.AI rose more than 8% after the company released a new model that the company claims uses entirely homegrown semiconductors to operate. The new model is called GLM 5.3 Flash. Futures are still mixed. NASDAQ futures up by more than 200 points. That's your money now.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
My name is Amanda Klutz, and I'm a widow. You enter a different reality when you lose your husband, especially as a parent. Life insurance doesn't fix it, but it helps. With Ethos, you can get covered in minutes. No medical exams, up to $3 million in coverage, and it's all online.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
The primary election is over.
Gay Valmont is joining us now. Hey, Gay, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I know you're going to be representing the Democratic side for Congress District 1.
News Radio 92.3, full team coverage with Chris and Austin, provided up-to-the-minute election results.
Joining me now, Jimmy Patronus. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I couldn't be any better right now.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay at Pensacola Morning News. Thank you so much for listening. On the line with us, Mike Wood is out at a PIO conference doing, I would assume, great work teaching other PIOs how to do their jobs, although I know he would say he's learning from the best, but I would say they should learn from him. Joining us now, we have Greg Gordon, who is the deputy PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Greg, welcome back, sir.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. And I don't know if Mike's at a conference or if he basking in the sun somewhere. I couldn't tell you.
You know what? Hard work deserves a vacation every once in a while, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'll give it to Mike this time.
And by the way, I didn't mean to unrank you. What's your rank? It's not lieutenant. What's your rank?
Oh, I'm officer. I'm officer.
Okay. All right. I couldn't remember for sure, and I never want to undercredit somebody for the things that they certainly deserve. We've had some really interesting news, both outbound and inbound, on canines in the last week for PPD, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're looking forward to getting these two new canines. I think they're gonna start looking for names and everything like that. I don't know if they're gonna get the community involved or what, but we look forward to these new members of our family coming in soon.
Well, I think the I love the story that you guys had about it was the one yesterday about Redden, which I guess was a puppy that you all rescued last year, and he's kind of been in, I don't know, training, remediation, you know, raising him ever since then. I thought that was really cool, the having the name for him be to rescue or save in the Dutch. I'm like, these are some pretty cool connections. So that's one of your dogs, yeah. Right?
Yeah, you know, and like I said, these names, these dogs are going to be awesome, and the names they choose are going to have some really significant meaning and stuff like that. So hopefully that's going to be one if that's the name, and hopefully we can decide on the other one too.
And then we have, is my understanding that maybe one of them was going to be a gunpowder detecting dog and one was going to be something else. Do you know the, like, training for them or their utility?
Oh, so in the aspect of the how much training or which,
like what they're going to be trained to alert on? Are they, you know, are they drug dogs? Are they gunpowder dogs? Are they, you know, what's their specific training?
So we've had a couple dogs in aspects of one was like a computer dog that would search out for anything to do with computers, like SD cards, things like that. So it might be a computer type dog where we can do search warrants and go into a home and find those kind of items that have been hidden really well that we wouldn't be able to find, but the dog might be able to sniff out and find. And the other one, we've had a bomb dog. We call it a bomb dog. Right. It would look out for those kind of things. And unfortunately, our last one passed away a few months ago. So we're looking to possibly have that type of dog come back into service.
Very good. I also, I love that you guys had made a post on your Facebook page also about the outbound canine Jones. And, you know, being retired after all of these narcotics incidents and tracking 61 suspects. I mean, I just think it's, you know, we don't get a lot of profiles of officers, but everybody loves a dog profile, you know?
You let a dog walk into the room and that's it. That's it. Be it kids, adults, and everything. They just bring so much joy to a room. And these dogs really work. These handlers, they put a lot of hours in with these animals. And they take them home. I mean, they're part of the family, but a lot of hours and training going with these dogs. And when we have to retire one, it's pretty hard. But you know, we know they're get to relax and enjoy the rest of their life.
Absolutely. We also had, I guess, two teenagers charged with stealing $6,000 worth of medical marijuana from Legal Leaf. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, that happened a couple months ago, and these officers have been, the detectives have been really dedicated trying to find, you know, track these guys down and what happened, and they got enough to arrest these young men, and unfortunately, you know, they're out, you know, we don't know what we're doing after midnight, you know, what are our kids doing, where they're at, what are they doing, and we need to really pay attention to that and make sure. But yeah, we arrested those two, and there probably may be some more arrests coming, so we'll let you know.
Now, I know, you know, the push to have the curfew passed obviously did not get yet. Okay, at City Council, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit with, you know, with Mike, and I covered the event and it happened. But, you know, Allison Patton, City Council President, left open the possibility that we would come back with a subsequent conversation and a subsequent ordinance. Do you know anything about the progress of that? Or, you know, if they didn't want this ordinance, what ordinance would they be looking for so that you guys have some kind of a tool to be able to handle the very young, you know, like 12, 13, 14-year-old kids who are out, you know, about to get into trouble on a night like the night of the 4th of July?
You know, I don't have any details on what they're working on, but rest assured they are working on some other options to bring to City Council. And you know, it's I think it's important. I think all of us are concerned. You know, because things are happening after midnight, after 10 o'clock, and we always say nothing good happens after 10 o'clock in the streets, and our children are out that late, so nothing good is happening. Hopefully, they can find an alternative, and we can present to City Hall.
Well, good things happen with you guys, right?
Well, yeah, for us. You know, yes, you know, we can stop some of the things that are happening, but, you know, not always always good.
You have to be there to make the good things happen, because so much of the time it's not the good things happening. All right, very good. Greg Gordon is the Deputy PIO for the City of Pensacola Police Department. As always, Greg, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for the good information, sir. Keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, sir.
Absolutely. 744 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about a roof replacement or a repair and you're not quite sure which way you need to go, well, call Quality Roofing Solutions and ask them. And, you know, you can just tell, hey, here's what we're dealing with. Here's kind of what we're thinking about doing. What do you recommend? And they'll walk you through it. And look, you know, 90, 95% of what they do is repair. Is replacement, is full roof replacement. But part of the reason, and about 5 to 10% is repair. But part of the reason for that is because by the time you mobilize to do a repair, and then especially if it's a significant one, and if that repair is due not because of like a tree branch fell, but because of, you know, age of the roof, well, by the time you do all of that, if you're going to have to replace the whole thing again in, you know, say, 3 years, what's the point? You're probably going to save money doing it now because, you know, the prices are not going down on anything. You may be able to save money on insurance between now and then, you know, depending on your insurance and wind mitigation inspection report and all of that. But, like, the point is you call Quality Roofing Solutions and they'll talk you through all this and they'll do whatever you want to do that makes sense to you, okay? And then they'll take care of you afterwards. You know, they have a lifetime workmanship warranty on all of their roofs. They've done 10,000 roofs in the area in the 20 years they've been in business. They have a 4.9 rating on Google. Brian and his folks are good folks. You hear them on Pep Talk all the time talking your way through this and explaining it to you. And that's the point. They want you to understand. They don't want you to be wondering what's happening. They want you to feel good about the process and also to feel like you're in control of it. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash Jamaica Street at Gulf Beach Highway. No roadblock associated with that. Also, Highway 90 southbound is congested from Woodbine Road to about Scenic Highway. Not sure what's causing that slowdown, but we'll keep an eye on it. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
For more than three decades, the local option sales tax, often called the penny for progress, has been quietly at work across Escambia County. The penny funds local projects we rely on every day, from roads, bridges, and stormwater drainage, to parks, libraries, and fire stations. In fact, you may be surprised by how many projects have been funded by the penny right here in your own neighborhood. The local option sales tax is up for renewal in November. This isn't a new tax. It's a decision about whether to continue the voter-approved funding source our community has relied on for 34 years. And the penny helps pay for needed improvements without putting the entire cost on local property owners. Want to see what the penny has funded in your backyard? Visit pennyforescambia.com. That's pennyforescambia.com. Paid political advertisement. Paid for by the Penny for Progress Committee, Incorporated. 707 East Cervantes Street, Suite B, number 241, Pensacola, Florida, 32501.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
You know, sometimes you want answers.
Sometimes you just want something upbeat.
Either way, Meg's got you covered. Pet Talk, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
It'll be like this one time at band camp.
Yeah,
Good morning, 748 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Steve is sitting in for David Wayne this morning in our newsroom with the headlines. Steve?
A Florida judge is going to decide today whether Andrew and Tristan Tate will remain in a Miami jail while they wait extradition to England to face rape charges. The Miami Herald is saying the federal prosecutors want the Tate brothers detained because they are allegedly a flight risk and a danger to the community. A years-long campaign led by a California group to end child marriage in the state is one step closer to the goal. State lawmakers in California approved legislation that sets 18 as the minimum age to marry, with no exceptions. Under the current law there, minors can marry with parental consent and court approval. And a new pill has been approved that nearly doubles the survival rates of patients dealing with pancreatic cancer. The FDA says they approved a new pill from Revolution Medicine called Resun-K, yeah, that's how it's spelled out, which says it is a treatment option for patients with advanced pancreatic cancer, and that's what's happening.
All right, thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate that. Hey, Division I football is here tonight. Excited about that? PJ? Yeah.
It is exciting.
Yeah?
Yes.
Now, you're an early to bed, early to rise kind of person, so.
I am.
The game starts at 6. Are you going to do anything?
I'm not going to be able to go to
it. Yeah, right, exactly. I think it's kind of cool that it's Southern Illinois is from Carbondale is not. I taught at Southern Illinois at Edwardsville, so a satellite campus, but that's home for me. You know, that's my part of the state back in a long time ago.
I actually went to Carbondale for a semester.
Did you?
I did.
Okay. How? A Wisconsin kid.
Yeah. No.
What'd you go to the other end of the other state
to
for?
A girl.
Okay. There you go. All right. Fair enough. No more explanation needed. I understand that. So we take on the Salukis tonight, 6 o'clock. This is the whiteout game. So, my wife kind of asked me about that. Whiteout? Like, but they all show up wearing white. She's like, oh, okay. So anyway, at Penn Airfield tonight at 6. If you want to listen to the game, it'll be carried live on our sister station, Sports Radio Pensacola, 99.1 FM and AM 1330. You can watch on ESPN+. Of course, Will Kennedy's going to be doing the play-by-play for the TV side. And I guess it's a Division I rule that you can't do both. I didn't know that, but that's one of the things. We're all learning how Division I works differently. So Jordan Glass and one of our sales guys, Brian, are going to be doing the play-by-play on sports radio. So that should be fantastic. So if you can go, go. If you can watch, watch. If you can listen, listen. I'm going to be listening. I'm a radio person. That's where I go. So I'm looking forward to that. How do you think we do? We've had a very, very, very good team in Division II. You know, outrageously good team for the short time that we've actually been a football team. But, of course, that's always been the issue, is we chafe a little bit against the limitations of being what formerly Gulf South Conference and, you know, all of that and, you know, being in Division II. Now we're Division I. We got to play Austin Peay and Southeast Missouri State and, you know, Central Arkansas and West Al and Eastern Kentucky and North Al and West Georgia, none of whom – West Georgia we played before historically. You know, but these are not like SEC, you know – and Big Ten teams, but they are Division I teams, and they have been doing it for a while. We're bigger than some of these schools, by the way. You got a prediction on what kind of record we get this year, PJ? Above 500?
I would say at least that.
I honestly, 500 is a good goal for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being above 500 your first year in Division I sports is a really good goal. Now, we might do better than that. Who knows? But, you know, I'm curious to see how this all shakes out. And, you know, it's more money. It costs more money, but it is more money. There's more students coming. I mean, it's all part of the whole plan to kind of keep growing UWF and keep it also the school that, you know, your kids can still go to, which is what it, you know, has always been for this area. 437-1620. ESPN says it's getting rid of the bottom line score ticker during games. I love this choice. It was kind of funny because the guy who was writing the article for ESPN is like, I run into these people who think this is a good idea, and here's my 14-point explanation of why this is terrible. I just find it distracting, personally. And frankly, this is I know this is how I consume media, so it's a weird one, but I don't like seeing the sports scores at the bottom of the newscast. And the main reason why is because I don't watch the games the same time. I watch them a day or two later. And so, you know, though I love them and they're our news partners, Channel 3 is consistently ruining my life by telling me the Cardinal scores from the game last night that I haven't watched yet or listened to. I listen to them. I listen to KMOX on the app. But so I know that people who care about the game will have already known the result from the app or online. So the people who really care aren't waiting for the TV scroll. And the people who want to not know because they want to keep themselves in darkness for a while so they can enjoy the game without knowing the outcome, like me, there's four of us probably in the universe, we hate it. So I don't know who benefits from it, except that it's the kind of thing you get in the habit of doing. You know, and probably pre-internet, pre-phones, it made a lot more sense. Just, you know, there's a lot of things that sort of fall into that category. I don't know. It kind of made me laugh. Are you a Buc-ee's guy? You a big Buc-ee's fan?
I go to it, yeah.
Okay. I'm not. I don't get it. I mean, I've been there. I don't understand it. But there's a lot of these, like, consumer-oriented things that I'm just not really in on. We went to Costco for the first time yesterday. A friend took us. Because we're trying to decide if we wanted to get a membership. And we have BJ's membership because it's, like, it's a minute, not even from the station. And it's, like, 3 minutes from the house. So it's the perfect one for us to have membership for. And we wanted to go to Costco to see, you know, what's all the hubbub about. I've been to one, but it's been a long time.
They have everything.
Nah. Have a lot.
Don't they have furniture and stuff?
They
too?
Do. Yeah. They have, you can buy gift cards, including for Great Southern restaurants, and you can buy car batteries, and you can buy clothes, and you can buy office furniture and computers. I'm the food guy, like I would shop. That's what I would use it for. And of course, you know, personal products. Mm-hmm. Some of the things they had, like the food court, $1.50 for a giant hot dog and a drink, that's outrageous. It's ridiculously cheap.
Yes, it is.
And the pizza was good. The milk comes in a weird container. I don't know how to describe it. It's meant for packaging for big pallets of milk, but it's certainly weird. They have a lot of stuff, you know, no surprise there. And people love it, and that's fine. Just for me, BJ's is way too convenient. So I won't be getting a membership. The prices are good. This is a personal foible, but I'm very price conscious. And so I know what the price per pound is of anything that I buy. I know what the price per unit is of anything I buy. I don't like it when they tell me the price per ounce because that's not what I'm familiar with. And I don't, you know, I have to sit there and do the math of, the cheese is 2 2.5-pound containers. That's 5 pounds. That's 10 8-ounce servings, which is the normal amount that you have to price cheese. You know, like I'm going through all the, I'm doing more math yesterday to figure out if these are deals or not. And I'm like, it's way too much work for me. So
my wife does that too, if you feel better.
Okay, that she does the math of figuring out.
It irritates me to no end, but she does that.
Well, the premise of the box store, let's get traffic on the fives real quick, and I'll give you my theory
on this.
All right,
still working that vehicle crash, Jamaica Street at Gulf Beach Highway. No roadblock associated with that. Highway 90 southbound is congested from the Simpson River to Scenic Highway. Not sure what's causing that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So the premise of the box store is that you're going to go to one place and buy, it's convenient, so you're going to buy as much of all of your stuff as you can there and not go to, I go to like four different grocery stores. I know I'm weird. I do my shopping on a Friday and I go everywhere. But so the premise is that you're going to, you know, you're there, you're going to buy 80% of your groceries, maybe because it's cheaper because of selection. The other 20% you're going to overpay for because you'd rather have the convenience of buying in one place. Also, if you, you know, you make it a deal per unit, but you sell people a lot, then you can sell more of it, but they don't really need that much. And so some of it's going to go to spoilage or whatever. But also the premise is that people who don't care as much about price, okay, which again, it's not me, but the people who don't care as much about price are just there and they're like, well, that's good. Okay, that seems like a reasonable in the range. I'll buy it, whatever. And that's how most people shop. And that works for a lot of people, and that's fine. I just know that I'm on a little bit more constrained of a budget, and I'm much more of a, like, if I can save 30 cents, you know, I'm going over to get it there. I know what the price per gallon of milk is at Aldi versus Walmart versus Grocery Advantage versus, you know, because I shop at all these different places. So I buy 4 things here and 8 things there and 6 things here. And when I, you know, after I spend all my gas and my time, then I get home and I'm happy. And I meet my budget. So, but I know I'm weird, okay? I know, like a lot of things, you know, I am a super weird shopper. 437-1620. Meta has agreed to this settlement, 12 or 17, depending on how you read it. And the safety protocols that are being put in place for children, I want to say that they look good, but I also want to say that, you know, Meta is in the business of making money off of you and your kids, and so they're going to give whatever they think they need to do to push off government for long enough to keep making money as much as they can off of you and your kids. They are not interested financially or ethically in real reform. Like, you do what's best for your kids, right? I mean, you do all kinds of things. you discipline your kids, you teach them, you provide for them. But your primary motivation with your kids is to do what is best for your kids. What's best for your kids is nowhere in the calculus for Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or, you know, ABCs for Google. And none of these companies care about your kids. They care about making money. They're not asking what's best for your kids unless they have to pretend to ask what's good enough for your kids that they won't be brought into court or have laws made that will strip away their ability to make money off of you and your kids or have Section 230 deleted from the FCC code, like the Communications Act. Like, they don't, you know, they're not a babysitter. You would not let Mark Zuckerberg babysit your kids, right? I mean, right. And certainly, even if you might let him, although I wouldn't think you wouldn't let the institution of Facebook babysit your kids. But you let, you know, Instagram babysit your kids, and you let YouTube and TikTok babysit your kids all the time. And you know that's not, those don't really match up so well. So trusting that, you know, the $12 million for now, but the $5 million extra if other companies will also self-limit in the ways that Meta is promising to limit, it's something. It's better than, but to say that it's good, Also, Florida is staying out of the settlement because James Uthmeyer thinks we can get more money out of them through actual litigation.
Stream us at newsradio923.com.